1 minute I'm at the Royal Society drinking copious amounts of free wine, and then I'm bundled into a taxi like some kidnappee, taken across town with a taxi driver that should really have sat-nav. I know everything about Farringdon right now, and I come from a village. And then I'm brought into this building here. Where am I?
You're in the Free Word Centre over in Farringdon. It's the home of English Pen and Index on Censorship, which are both...
Index on Censorship? I have books by them.
Fantastic. They campaign for free speech around the world, and they defend the rights of people who have their free speech taken away. And we're here tonight to support libel reform, which is a really important cause.
Wait a minute. How do you know so much? Who are you?
My name is Imran Khan, and I'm the director of the Campaign for Science and Engineering.
That's why you know so much. And who are you, standing next to Imran Khan with what looks like a cup of vodka, but you tell me it's water?
He's a tough act to follow. And I'm Jenny Roan, a scientist at University College London.
Somebody pointed me out and said, that lady over there, she single-handedly saved science from getting horrific cuts. Is this true?
It's not true, because we had actually 36,000 people helping to save science, including Imran here, who was instrumental in this campaign, which is called Science is Vital. And we went from 3 weeks, we went from zero to 36,000 people. And just yesterday, the announcements were made that it looks as if our campaign was quite successful.
How did you make people listen?
Well, Jenny's being very modest, because everyone over here was being very English about it and basically sitting at home going, well, do you reckon we could just persuade people and like kind of be nice and just tell them how like really important this is? And Jenny was like, no, screw that. We're going to like get on the streets and actually like shout about it, which is brilliant. I think it's exactly what we needed. And
serious Activision. Yeah. People actually... Activision, that's a game console, sorry. Activism. And people actually... got out of their geek armchairs.
I think what's brilliant about it is a combination of everything. I think what we saw throughout the whole summer, particularly during the past 3 weeks, was everyone from, you know, ministers right at the top of government, so people like David Willetts and Vince Cable and senior civil servants, all the way down through, you know, people like me who work for NGOs and journalists, and then people in labs as well, you know, people who study science, coming out and saying it's economically important that we support science, it's socially important that we study science, and it's politically important that we support science. Everyone,
And culturally important.
Exactly. And I think everyone, all from the right, all the way through, you know, every strata of society came out and said, this is really important, science is vital, and that's why we need to support it. And it seems like it had an effect, you know.
It's a successful protest. It almost sounds weird.
I was a bit disappointed that nobody got handcuffed to anything. I mean, come on.
You wanted better photos.
Boffins. Yeah, nobody got arrested. It was all very polite. Everybody picked up the litter after the rally.
Yeah. So don't mess with the geek hive mind. That's what the message is from this.
Well, on a kind of serious note, I think we've got to be kind of cautious, because while it's kind of funny, scientists in the UK are kind of very jubilant at the fact that we've got cuts that are basically 10% over 4 years, while just across the channel, German researchers are having 7% increase in their research funding. And the government's done a great job of managing expectations. And it's true that science has been protected more than the other areas. But the really important thing, which is what we've all been campaigning for, is that the reason science is vital at the moment more than anything else is because actually it will help us achieve growth. Science is just like everyone else. We want to see good schools, good hospitals, good public services. But we recognise that actually to achieve that, what we need is really investment in science and engineering. If you look at the UK... we're not going to be competitive in cheap labour. We're not going to be competitive in digging stuff out of the ground. We need to be high tech, we need to be value added, we need to be knowledge intensive. And the way to get there is to invest in science and engineering.
So what about all the people thinking about going into higher education to do science and are now faced with potentially humongous debts hanging around their neck? How are they going to be able to concentrate on the good work, because the Brown Review unfortunately recommended we hack into further education?
Well, it is a concern. I mean, I think the thing that my organisation is particularly concerned about is that it allows differentiation of fees between subjects. So, for instance, you could go to the same university and study history for, you know, £7,000 a year, or maybe chemistry for £10,000 a year. And you might make the calculation that even though you like chemistry more, you just can't afford to study history. Sorry, couldn't study chemistry, and therefore you're going to study history instead. And we don't want them to make that decision. We want them to say, I'm passionate about science. I want a career in science. I want to do science for the rest of my life, or, you know, at least a few years. And therefore, I'm going to go and study chemistry. So the government hasn't responded to the Brown Review yet, and they're going to do it over the next few weeks. And we think it's really important that whatever happens, the government makes sure that if you want to study science, if you think that science and engineering is important, and if you want to have a career in science and engineering, rather than doing science and engineering and then going into, say, you know, banking or accountancy, you have that opportunity. One of the things that is actually bad about science at the moment, and I work for an organization that champions science, one of the things that's bad about science at the moment is the lack of diversity. We've got an existing situation with gender diversity in science. There's another more problems with socioeconomic diversity. People have put off studying science because they don't think that it's going to be a good career choice for them. We want to move to a world and a country where that's no longer the case, where regardless of your gender, regardless of your background, you know that if you're passionate about this, you can do it as a career.
This was really evident tonight at the Royal Society when we were looking at the the shortlist. Somebody said, quite interesting that everybody in the shortlist is a white, middle-class man. And somebody put their hand up, Brian Cox's co-writer, and said, I'm not middle class. And that was the only kind of comeback that we could have. And then Maggie Philbin, who was basically chairing the discussion, said it was quite interesting to see only 10 women authors kind of put forward into the whole final. How do we rectify this?
Science is a man's world. It always has been. I'm a woman in science, and there's many, many women scientists at the student level and at the PhD level, but as soon as we go into postdoctoral research, the women just start dropping out, and it's a big problem. It's not necessarily overt sexism. I think there's a lot of pressures.
Geeks and the massive minds that exist in the corridors with poster-clad doors and plastic dinosaurs on desks where they're studying PhDs, they're not normally sexist. They don't have the capability, I've found through personal contact. So what is it?
I think there is sometimes unconscious sexism. When you ask to think of a great scientist, you usually think of a man. This happened with the first issue of Eureka, the Times of Science magazine. Mark Henderson has basically admitted that they put it together in a rush, and it was almost all men, and because that's just what pops into your head. Psychologically, apparently, scientist, the schema of a scientist is male. So if you're subconsciously, if I say, name a scientist, you'll picture a man and you'll name a man. So the key, apparently, is to just push that aside and think, okay, let me think about women now. Let's think of some great women scientists. And then that's when your mind opens up and you suddenly think, yeah, there is 50% of the population out there that is female. And
am I allowed to have a theory on this?
Sure, please do.
A lot of scientific research which has came out and been adopted by normal society has come from military funding. Whereas military scientists... This is completely false theory, really, when I think about it. I'm thinking killers... takers of life, mostly men.
We've obviously never seen a woman having a cat fight in the girls, the ladies.
Well, much as I'd like to, it's not a place I'm normally invited.
No, I think it's hard. I mean, women want to have families as well, and when you drop out to have a baby, it's sometimes hard to get back. I mean, in any profession, right. Women get paid less than men almost universally. I mean, sometimes, and also I think women are quite sensible. They think, saw this, I don't want to work 80 hours a week for the rest of my life. Like, a man might be perfectly happy to sacrifice his life as long as he's got his wife to cook
so
and iron.
Women are smarter.
No, seriously.
That's why they're not scientists.
I think this is why women do drop out. They think, you know, I want a life.
It makes sense.
And that's not necessarily a bad thing, but if we made science more friendly for women and for families, I think it would be better. More women would stay.
Brilliant. Well, while you're on a roll, you should probably, after this campaign, now that you've just sorted science out, maybe you should sort women in science out.
Maybe I should.
Thank you. So tell me about tonight. What is tonight solely about?
Tonight is the launch of something called the Geek Calendar, and this is an amazing project put together by three amazing people. There's Alice Bell, Louise Crane, and Monkey Lua. I don't know how to pronounce his surname. Monkeet. I've had too much, yeah.
What's the website?
The website is geekcalendar.co.uk.
You can find all the names there.
Yeah, just Google it.
This is why geeks don't have to have memories. There's always a URL.
Google it. It's the top hit, and it's essentially a celebration of all things nerdy. And I think the tagline is "The nerds are on the march," which is an interesting tagline.
Geek or nerd? What are you?
I think the people that care about the distinction between geek and nerd are both. And that's the philosophy I like to live.
Oh my God, I've just criticised.
It's pejorative.
I got called a nerd on the way here.
No,
said, it's so cool that you're a nerd that kind of tweets and stuff.
No,
and I'm
I think
it was more as a pretend geek.
Yeah, I think geek is the more positive term.
Thanks, that's good. I'd rather be a geek. Because a nerd, someone told me the difference between a geek and a nerd is a geek is someone who watches Star Trek, a nerd is someone who knows Klingon. Is that possible? I mean, maybe. Yeah. I know what you're going to say. You're going to go, Dathbach Nalachmach.
I was going to say Kapa.
Oh, no, you do actually. No, I made that up. You know, I spoke Welsh then. You know. You actually know Klingon.
I luckily for this interview, I know one word of
I'm
Klingon.
I'm not sure why he's standing next to this man.
But on a serious note, I think the Geekander is all about helping, you know, celebrating British geekiness, which I think is something we don't do enough of. You know, I think we like to think of ourselves as a very kind of uptight society, and actually this is an opportunity for us to celebrate the fact that we're actually...
people have their clothes on. We're not talking about a nude calendar here.
Well, luckily this is an audio interview.
No, I know now you have your clothes on.
Did
but...
you see that picture of Brian Cox with a large Hadron Collider strategically?
No, I didn't see that. So who is actually featured in the Geek Calendar? Can you name them all?
I can't name them all, but I can name some of them. There's me, Imran Khan, that's the easy one. There's Brian Cox, who obviously everyone knows about. There's Simon Singh, who in many ways is the poster boy of the Libel Reform campaign. The way he got sued by the British Chiropractic Association just for telling the truth is part of the reason why we're here tonight. There's Chris Addison, you know, he was in The Loop and in the thick of it. He's a brilliant actor and, again, a great skeptic and a champion for science. There's Petra Boynton, who is, you know, one of the best sociologists out there, I think. She's doing a brilliant campaign in terms of making sure that people are aware of the issues around sex and relationships in a kind of completely normalised way, and not making a weird thing about it, not saying that, like, ooh, you know, it's sex. She's just saying, actually, this is the normal that human beings do. Let's just talk about it. I think that's brilliant. Who else? I'm forgetting some of them.
You forgot most of the women.
Yeah. Check this out, Mr. Male Science Mind. Do you know them?
It's Alex. How do you pronounce her name?
Alex Gutowski. She's brilliant. She does the Guardian Tech Weekly podcast.
So you were only concentrating on the men in the calendar?
Well, you know, I'm a bit preoccupied. But, no, Alex does the Tech Weekly podcast for The Guardian. She's amazing. Cool. She's a great champion of geek issues. The fact that actually we're moving into a world, particularly in the UK, where it's time to care more about the issues where... It's all about how much people know about things rather than, you know, celebrity or, you know, how much money you can make by moving things around. She really cares about geek issues, which I think she's a brilliant advocate for everything around us.
What's the photograph I see up there with Jonathan Ross sat on a chair?
Oh, yeah. That's Jonathan Ross playing some computer games. I don't know what he's
completely
playing.
Completely irrelevant to the calendar, or is he?
Oh, he's a geek.
He's in the calendar as well.
Yeah.
You didn't mention him. You just forgot Jonathan Ross.
I think anyone who's got a room dedicated in the house to computer games qualifies as a geek.
Oh, for certain. Oh, and his comic knowledge.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some good stuff. Thank you so much, guys. Really appreciate it. Are there any Twitter names or URLs that you would like to say at the very end of this recording right now?
Jenny Rohan. JennyRohn. That's my Twitter name.
There's three. There's me, I'm at Imran Time. There's my organisation, there's Science Campaign. And there's the most important one, Geek Calendar. Follow it.
Milk it, guys. Why don't you? Thanks a lot. I'm going to get another drink.
Awesome.